Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 204, the four stanzas. O God, how good thou art to all the pure of heart. Though life seems vain, burdened with anxious care, I groped in dark despair, till in thy house of prayer all was made plain. And what follows, Psalter 204, the four stanzas. the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Acts 27, the verses 1 through 10. First, the holy law of God. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord, thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, nor any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Acts 27, the first 10 verses. And when it was determined that we should sail into Italy, they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one named Julius, a centurion of Augustus' band. And entering into a ship of Adramyttium, we launched, meaning to sail by the coast of Asia. One Aristarchus, a Macedonian of Thessalonica, being with us. And the next day we touched at Sidon, and Julius courteously entreated Paul and gave him liberty to go unto his friends to refresh himself. And when we had launched from thence, we sailed under Cyprus, because the winds were contrary. And when we had sailed over the sea of Cilicia and Pamphylia, we came to Myra, a city of Lycia. And there the centurion found a ship of Alexandria sailing into Italy, and he put us therein. And when we had sailed slowly many days, and scarce were come over against Cnidus, the wind not suffering us, we sailed under Crete, over against Salmone, and hardly passing it, came unto a place which is called the Fair Havens, and nigh whereunto was the city of Lycia. And now when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them, and said unto them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. Thus far the scripture reading. We hope to remember in prayer Mr. and Mrs. Mark and Nicole Vandenbroek, who were blessed with the birth of a baby boy yesterday evening. Mr. and Mrs. Ray and Lisa Grisnick, and Mr. and Mrs. Frank and Joanne Brillman, who hope to commemorate their 40th wedding anniversary at the end of this week, and Mrs. Jean Van Wieringen, who hopes to turn 85. Let us try to ask the Lord for his indispensable blessing. Lord of the heavens and of the earth, the creator and upholder of all the earth, then thou was granted unto us and our children another Sabbath day, another Lord's day, where each Sabbath day we may commemorate that the Lord is risen indeed. And then we may still be as monuments of thy goodness and of thy long suffering upon the face of the earth, where in the midst of all the trials, the difficulties, and the cares of this life, then thou hast showered us with so many blessings. Then thou wast not taken one away by the cold hand of death, but that we may still be in the precious day of grace, and that in this morning hour within the walls of thy house, we may see one another once more. Ah, Lord, may it please thee to grant a little bewilderment, and that our heart becomes soft, and that we may become to bow before thee, oh, to receive that low place, that thou may receive thy rightful place, where thou art high and lifted up, where thou art so holy and so majestic, and where thou still looks upon the children of men, and still cares for them. Ah, Lord, impress those matters upon our heart with a profound impression. Whom has received all those blessings, and that is for a people who have transgressed thy law, wearied thy patience, abused thy gifts, and so unthankful for thy common mercies, Lord, And may that become our guilt. And may we be ashamed because of our sin and burdened because of our debt and a need to be washed in the precious blood of thy dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. O Lord, we were all unable to continue our journey to eternity for another week. It is another week closer to eternity. It is a week that we cannot redo. It is a week of which we must give an account. And now in thy great goodness and wisdom, then thou wast given unto the children of men as such a precious gift, one day in seven, that we may rest from our labors and that we may attend especially to the needs of our never-dying soul. Lord, we humbly beg of thee for thy blessing on this holy day of rest within the walls of thy house. Oh, do come down with thy spirit and with thy power and with thy blood, and that thy word may be blessed to the hearts of young and old. Ah, Lord, that is the work of thy spirit, to bring it into the inner recesses of the heart, and that not only for the first time, but each time by renewal. Ah, wilt thou then do it, that it may be the moment, the hour of thy sovereign good pleasure, that thy chosen church may be gathered, that sinners may be wrought upon, that an arrow may be shot into their heart, and that it may all become so different, oh, not only different, but that they may be renewed, and that they may become new creatures in Christ Jesus. Ah, Lord, where thou hast begun, then thou knowest the state, the condition, thou knowest how that each and every one has come up to thy courts. Ah, wilt thou then be a surprising God? We have sung together with the psalmist of one, ah, that was burdened with many riddles, but then were in thy house it would all become plain. Wilt thou so work by thy Holy Spirit in the hearts of young and old, O Lord, in this dark and solemn time where thy judgments are hanging so low over the earth, and who takes it to heart, but wilt thou do a great, a rich work amongst us? Oh, do work from generation to generation. Remember the young, remember the middle-aged, and remember the elderly ones. Remember so thy church over the length and the breadth of the earth. And thou also knowest what has been planned toward the end of this week, when in a special service we hope to take up habitation in a sanctuary and to humbly implore thee for thy blessing, for thy presence, that thy kingdom may come and that thy name may be glorified. Ah, may we be given to beg with the Moses of old, with thy divine, for thy divine presence, that thou may go with the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire. We commend unto thee the families that have settled there hitherto. Remember fathers and mothers, remember the children. Oh, bless them for body and for soul. Lord, then thou wast given late yesterday evening, that a young father and mother were blessed for the second time in their married life with the birth of a little one, where thou wast spared life, where thou wast given life. Ah, grant unto those young parents, a humble and a broken heart of bewilderment, when they may see a new creation, when they may embrace their little child, that first creation, that is a wonder from above, but Lord, may he receive that second birth, that recreation by thy free and sovereign grace. Wilt thou strengthen the mother? We commend unto thee the grandparents, the great-grandparents, with their increased blessing, their increased responsibility. We commend unto thee all the mothers with the unborn, all to gladden at thy time with thy divine deeds. Wilt thou grant a prayer for one another? Lord, wilt thou remember all the needs, all the sorrowing ones? Remember the elderly ones. Remember the sick, afflicted ones under the doctor's care. Those that struggle with continual pain and weariness of the body, when at times so discouraged and overwhelmed, and when it seems that the physicians have no answer, Lord, as a wonder-doing God, wilt thou remember all those that stand in need of healing and strengthening, and that all these ways, that they may come out of thy right hand, that they may be sanctified. Remember the crosses, the burdens. Remember the handicapped ones in our midst. Lord, we commend unto thee the needs in the realm of nature. We may acknowledge thee in different places, that thou hast granted showers upon the thirsty earth. We may acknowledge thee that the waterways have been opened, but, Lord, thou knowest that there is thirsty earth. Wilt thou now remember in this morning, may there also be thirsty souls, and that in thy house, that it may be given to rain, the rain of thy precious Spirit, Lord. To that end, do open thy precious testimony, and may thy word go forth with power divine. Take away everything that could be a hindrance. Grant a little rest. May thy house be a house of refreshment, gladdened with thy deeds, with thy presence, and with thy favor. We ask it in the pardoning of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 211, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. O God, most holy are thy ways, and who like thee deserves my praise? Thou only doest wondrous things, the whole wide world thy glory sings. Thy outstretched arm thy people saved, though sore distressed and long enslaved. And what follows? The extra collection today is for the Bethesda, a special collection for the roof repairs. Psalter 211, the three stanzas. in this morning hour with the help of the Lord. And then by renewal, we wish to ask your attention for the portion of Scripture, Acts 27, the verses 1 through 8. And this morning for our text, we shall read. And when we had sailed slowly many days, and scarce were come over against Cnidus, the wind not suffering us, we sailed under Crete over against Salmone, and hardly passing it came into a place which is called the Fair Havens, and nigh whereunto was the city of Lycia. Our text speaks of Paul the prisoner commencing his journey to Rome with four thoughts. In the first place, a determined destination. In the second place, a merciful providences. Thirdly, contrary winds. And in the fourth place, a fair haven. Beloved congregation, we have heard the last Sabbath day that the Apostle Paul was placed on a ship to go to Rome with his appeal to appear before the Caesar. Then the Lord has promised in Acts 23 that he must appear in Rome. And then we have spoken as a ship that is a picture of our life, as sailing through the sea. The journey is a little easier, and the other, the journey wrought with more difficulties, more contrary winds, and more storms. And have you thought about it, congregation, that for another week we were given in the merciful providence of the Lord that we may continue our journey, but for each and every one of us, it is 1 week closer to the end, 1 week closer to eternity. It is a week that we cannot do over again. It is a week of which we must give an account. And then surely there are times that we would wish that we could slow our ship down a little bit, maybe for the boys and girls. Then time does not go fast enough. But may you be given to think oftentimes and to realize that there is a time for everything, and that our youth is also a blessed time. And when we become older, that the cares of this life, that they only increase. Boys and girls and youth, may it be impressed upon your young hearts that we may be given to seek the Lord while we are young. Then we read in God's holy word, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, before the evil days draw nigh, when the desire starts to fail. Of course, that does not mean that the Lord does not convert people when they have become older. But our little ship, another week closer to eternity. And then the most important question is, for each and every one, where is our little ship sailing to in this large ocean of this world? Because there are only two destinations, and by nature, then we are sailing to eternal destination. But now the Lord, He is still gathering a church by word and by spirit. May the Lord do it on this Sabbath day, that sinners may be wrought upon, that it may become different, and to be given to experience, because we have said this long chapter in Scripture, the things written aforetime were written for our learning, that through comfort and patience of the Scriptures we might have hope. And in this chapter, then, there is much instruction concerning the providence of God and the grace of God. And now Paul was a prisoner for the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, later in this chapter, then Paul was given to testify that the Lord was his master. And now we have heard the past week that even though a prisoner, that the Lord has remembered Paul in a special way in his merciful providence, because there were also a few companions that truly feared the Lord. Luke, the writer of the book of Luke and Acts, and also Archas, also a fellow laborer in the Lord's vineyard. Thus the Lord has given special merciful tokens of his goodness. But then we have also heard that the captain of the ship, Julius, he was very kindly disposed toward Paul. Ah, the Lord, as I read in Proverbs 21, verse 1, that the king's heart is even in the hand of the Lord. He turneth it as the rivers of water. And to that end, then Paul, when they have come to Sidon, then the captain of the ship, then he has allowed Paul to go on shore to visit his friends and be refreshed. That is also a beautiful type. Boys and girls, 6 days, then our little ship is sailing. Many labors that must be done. We must be diligent. Ask the Lord for health and strength. But now the Lord, in his goodness and wisdom, then he has given 1 day in 7 to say it simply, children, that we may put our ship in the harbor and that we may step on shore and go up to God's house and to be refreshed. The first time that we read that word refresh in the Bible, that is in Exodus 23, where it speaks of the fourth commandment, and then it is also stated that the day has been given, that also the strangers may be refreshed. Ah, the poor world. 7 days a week, and Monday morning, not refreshed, sometime more tired. Also our nation, how far it has fallen. Former century, where the Sabbath day was kept so strict, 6 days to labor, of course, there are those that cannot park their little ship, the old, the elderly, emergency work, but in former days in our country, when the Sabbath day was kept, and how the Lord is blessed. Then Christian countries, they were not in debt. And now man in his foolishness, trying to be wiser than the Creator of the heavens and of the earth. And what a difficulties and what a troubles. Paul has went on shore and he was refreshed. What refreshes us, congregation? What makes us glad? What makes us happy? What gives us the greatest joy? And also in the summer months, then there are many good, lawful, and beautiful things that our families may do, that we may be a little refreshed. Not vain things, visit places of vanity and of wickedness, but now what refreshes us the most is there something of the Lord in it. Oh, then we think of the Sabbath day, one day in seven, that we may park our little ship and come up to God's house. Oh, are there times that it is truly a time of refreshment? We've sung together out of Psalter 204, anxious soul, questions, burdened, but then in the house of God, there are souls where they may be refreshed. A Psalter, text applied, their heart declared, that they may be given to rejoice with joy unspeakable, that the praises of God may be in their mouth. And oh, then Sunday evening, oh, it can also be different, also in the life of God's people, that even on the Sabbath day, that they can be so busy with their fields, with the crops, and with their business, and that they are eager to begin Monday morning. But there can also be those other times that they are given to us, Lord, it has been so good, but tomorrow is Monday. Wealth, O grand strength, everything that is needed, that I may take up my labors, and that I may live off that refreshment. When we go through this world, then there is much that grieves. When we behold this evil world, that there is such a departing from God's word, his institutions, the two roses out of paradise, and that is the Lord's day and marriage and congregation, would we only be more grieved. Of the great declension that has taken place in our times. But how is it with us and our children? Oh, it can be, because there are still those that love the walls of Zion well, and that have great respect for God's word of that old apostle John. I read in 2 John 4 that he has written to that elect lady, I rejoice greatly when I found of thy children walking in the truth. So we can also refresh one another, of course. can also make one another very sad. When we walk not circumspectly, many times we speak of women, when we see men with shorts, ought not to be. Oh, we are against transgenderism. But now, oh, Paul, before the great storm, then he was greatly refreshed. How he must have been humbled, seeing the special providence of the Lord also on that journey, special tokens of the power of his King at the right hand of the Father. And now further, our third thought, contrary winds. Then, boys and girls, then today, then you can look it up in an atlas, also in the Bible history of Reydel. Your father and mother can read the history to you. Then there is also a map of that journey. Then you can look where Paul with those ships have traveled from Caesarea all the way to Rome, a trip more of 2,000 kilometers. And now we read in this portion of God's word that they sailed under Cyprus. And then, boys and girls, when you shall look at the map, then you shall see that the ship sailed on top of Cyprus. How can that now be? Then when we read that expression, under Cyprus, then we must read it that they sailed within the shadow of Cyprus. Because many times, then in the olden days, we have mentioned a compass, and in Paul's time, the compass was not invented yet. Thus then they had to sail more by the bodies of the sky and by landmarks. But then many times also on the way to Rome, then you shall see that the first part of the journey that they sailed not so far away from the coast to take advantage of the currents and of the winds. Thus they sailed within the shadow of Cyprus and not so far from the coast. Do you hear it, young people? Do not wander away. Many times may you be given to stop. Maybe there are young people amongst us that think father and mother are too strict. And in the church, you may not do so much. We may do many things. We may not sin. And what a privilege it is when we may be under the shadow, the umbrella of natural fathers and mothers, church fathers, school fathers. What children and what young people there are upon the world that have not a loving home, that have never been in a church, that have not the compass of God's holy word, that many times maybe cry themselves to sleep, and because we all need love, and then they seek it elsewhere, wrong ways, wrong things. Thus, the privilege to sail under the shadow close to the coastline. Then further, then we read that they sailed past the province of Cilicia and Pamphylia. And then Paul's thoughts have multiplied. When he looked northward and he looked at Cilicia That's where Tarsus was located. Oh, then he was given to reflect upon his youth and the free and sovereign grace of God, of the tribe of Benjamin, circumcised, lived a very strict life. And then it is implied that there came a time that for a further education, that he has went to Jerusalem, sat at the feet of Gamaliel, there to be instructed. And Paul was sure if anyone would go to heaven, it was him. Oh, how his thoughts have multiplied when he sailed past the province of Cilicia, of the Lord's wonderful grace, has even become a persecutor, thought he was doing the Lord a good deed. But the Lord has stopped and arrested him by his free grace, convicted of sin, and brought to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are there also places in our life that have a special meaning? Of course, also can be in the way of providence, accidents, close calls. But are there also those places where we may believe that the Lord has come over and spoken in a special way? Have there been those places? Because in the providence of God, much can take place, but that is not a foundation for eternity. Need to be converted. We need to become a sinner. Oh, if we had went to Paul and says, Paul, can you not tell us where you have become a sinner? Oh, then he knew that place. And those places, we need to be a sinner washed in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But now those special places, then on that ship, then there were reasons for Paul to praise the Lord, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Then he has also sailed Pamphylia and to the South Cyprus. They were places where Paul has labored, especially the first missionary journey, where he has preached law and gospel, where his labors have been blessed, where the Lord has done many wonders. Thus do be given to reflect, especially when we become older, concerning our labors, given to remember how the Lord has blessed, prospered us, helped us in many difficult ways. Thus on our little ship congregation, then we all do well, that we are given to pause many a times and to consider the Lord's doings. Last week we have spoken of the graduates. When you come past a Christian school, then the thoughts can also multiply. How is it now in our little ship congregation? What are we all busy with? And there's much to be done. But are we only busy with this temporal life? And that may be some weeks that God is hardly in our thoughts. So little impression that each day we are coming closer to our destination. How is it with that compass? Is that our guide on our journey? And where is our little ship sailing to? Two ways. Has that wonder now taken place? Oh, how needful that the prayers are multiplied and the family ship, when all may still be on board, then special reasons to acknowledge the Lord. And now they have continued their journey. And then we read in this chapter that they came to Myra, and there the centurion found a ship of Alexandria sailing into Italy, and he put us therein. Thus that first ship was a smaller ship. And concerning this ship, then Balaam, in Numbers 24, when he was called upon to curse that people, but that he could not do, because whom the Lord has blessed, they are blessed indeed. And then Balaam, he has said many precious things. In Numbers 23, verse 9, he says that people must dwell alone. And then he has spoken in chapter 24, verse 5, and also verse 10. Balaam, he had a wish when he was given to see that people. Let me die the death of the righteous, and my last end be like theirs. Thus he had a desire to die with that people of God. But what was now missing in the life of Balaam? Do you know what it was, boys and girls? He did not have a desire to live with that people. But when the Lord works. Think of Moses. Rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of Egypt for a season. Than that people. Then they are willing to do anything and to sacrifice. At least that's what they think, especially at the beginning. Because when the Lord converts us, then we see the danger that we are in and that we need to be converted. But then Balaam has also prophesied that there would be a time that there would be a great trade from the west, from the east to the west. And so in the time of Paul, then much goods has come from India up the Red Sea, transported across land because the Suez Canal was not yet built. And then especially from the seaport of Alexandria, that is a chief city in Egypt, then there were ships that went from the west and they traveled across the Mediterranean Sea. And they would go to Italy, to Rome, and especially in those ships there was much grain from Egypt that would be taken into Rome. And so Paul was placed upon that ship. It was a large ship because in addition to the cargo, then we read later in this chapter that there were 276 passengers with the crew. And now, in this chapter, then we read that the journey was not so prosperous. It's true. Later there would come a great storm, but that it did not go as they hoped or expected. Because in verse 4, we read that the winds were contrary. In verse 7, they sailed slowly many days, and also the wind not suffering us. Then as they have sailed westward, then there were contrary winds, and to that end, they have went southward, that they would still have the current, and that the wind would be more at the side. Contrary winds. The ship sailing slowly. There are those amongst us, family circles, where their little ship may sail beautiful along, sun shining, the sea smooth, of course no perfection, no contrary winds, love abounding between husband and wife, obedience of the children, I repeat it, no perfection, but that your ship may be given to sail gently along. Do we see it, congregation? And where does it bring us? Does it bring us closer to God's word? More on our knees? More separated from the world? And does the Lord receive thanksgiving and a humble heart? Or can we live so easily on under all His goodness and mercies when there are other ships in Mark 4 where we read of the disciples and Jesus on the ship Sea of Galilee, when a great storm has come, then it is specifically mentioned that there were also other little ships on the sea. Thus a privilege and a blessing when we may have times of prosperity, of joy. But has it now taken place? What I read in Romans 2 verse 4, or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long suffering, not knowing that the goodness of the Lord leadeth thee to repentance? But concerning our passengers on the ship sailing to Rome, then we read of contrary winds. And what contrary winds there can be in our life can be in so many ways. Providential concerning our daily bread on the farm, business life, mother in the household, you can multiply it out. Contrary winds, difficulties of the body, pain, weariness, sickness, that we struggle to do our labors. When we speak of those contrary winds, then we can speak of the contrary winds of discouragements and disappointments. The contrary winds, and when we have God's word as our compass, and more so it has always been, but more so in our day, then we shall walk contrary to the world. Easy to be a dead fish. Goes along with the current. When we have God's word as our compass, with our desire to walk according to that word, and we need to pray much, then we shall find that we are walking contrary to the masses. And that is only a beginning. Read the history of the church. Read about the Huguenots. Before the massacre of St. Bartholomew in 1572, something you can read, parents, to your children, how the Christians, many times, begins with slander, and then the church thinks, but it is not true, we do not have to worry about it. But many times slander is the beginning, and if we think of the media in our day, how they portray everything, then they are making the population ready for a time when Christians shall be persecuted. As we read in this chapter, that soon a great storm has come. Thus also the contrary winds of the world. Oh, what contrary winds there can be of temptations. How strong they could be. Then you hear, congregation, what is now necessary on our little ship. Ah, that the travelers, that they are oftentimes on their knees and searching their compass, that it may be granted what he read in Psalm 32, verse 8, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way that thou shalt go. I will instruct thee with my eye. That we resemble, many, many years ago, there was a fisherman in England with a little boat. And then many times in the morning, he set a sail on that large ocean with his little boat. And then he has prayed, Lord, my boat is so little, and that ocean is so big, and it can be so fierce and so wild. Wilt thou keep my little boat? Ah, what contrary winds there can be. Secret crosses, burdens, difficulties of the mind, when we resemble a Thomas, and later in this chapter, we shall speak more of the way of grace. The Lord leads his people. But now we have read in this chapter that they were sailing very slowly. And maybe in this morning there is one that says, not without a hope. Oh, they know what it is to be refreshed. They know their desires and their longings. But there can be souls, maybe a soul in this morning, that is given to say, I am not sure if I am sailing at all. Oh, in the beginning was Psalm 84, to go from strength to strength. Oh, when they are overshadowed by that love with so much zeal, and that their ship is gliding so smoothly along that they wonder why other ships are struggling so much. But there can come times that they wonder whether the ship is sailing at all. And oh, that question about that destination. Because they have the burden of sin still upon their back. But then for such little ships, then they do well. When you are on the ocean, then it can sometimes seem that you are hardly sailing at all. But upon reflection and looking at the coast, then you may be given to see different landmarks. Contrary winds by themselves, is that now a mark of grace? We shall first sing. Psalter 375, the stanzas 3, 4, and 5. I know the Lord is high in state, above all gods, our Lord is great. The Lord performs what he decrees in heaven and earth, in depths and seas. 375, the stanzas 3, 4, and 5. contrary winds. It is clearly written in the Scriptures, congregation, that if we and our children do not give heed to the holy word of God, that we may expect many contrary winds. In Leviticus 26, then we read that word contrary 7 times. And then the Lord has clearly said that if that blessed, that chosen and privileged people would walk contrary to God's holy word, that the Lord would be contrary to them. Concerning that word contrary, and we have stated it in this morning, we shall speak especially of the providence of God, not excluding grace. But then in Galatians 5 verse 17, and the Lord has a people that learns much of the same, that the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to another. We read in Colossians 2 verse 14 of that precious king of the church in his priestly office, blotting out the handwriting that was contrary to us, nailing it to the cross. But now the question, congregation, a contrary winds, is that now a mark of grace? There can be people that of many contrary winds and many storms, and that can come to a certain conclusion that I must be a child of God, since there are so many afflictions, but that they cannot tell how by the work of the Spirit they have become a sinner, drawn by the cords of love, with a need to be washed in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. On the other hand, when the Lord richly blesses us with so many blessings, that our ship can sail days, months, and even years upon a smooth sea, is that now a mark of grace? Oh, it can be when the Lord converts a person, and when there may be a time of much blessedness and much prosperity, that they can be attacked, that it must not be the true work, because in the Bible it is written that they shall suffer much affliction, 10 days of persecution, congregation. Do not ask for contrary winds, trials, and afflictions. And when the Lord grants prosperity, may we be given to ask that it is not that we depart further from the Lord, but that it may be the goodness of the Lord that leadeth to repentance. But now concerning contrary winds and his blessing, when we may have a close eye upon the providence of the Lord, when we may have a dependent life, and when we may be given at times, even in the smallest things, the special providential leading of the Lord. But now it can be, and that even more so, because many choices need to be made. And when we have made a decision, then if it is well, then we shall be given to ask that the Lord may grant special tokens following of his favor. And then it can be that after that time, that those contrary winds are given greatly to blow. And then such a people, or they should be at least, exercised and troubled with the same. And then the question is, because then we need discernment and light from above concerning those contrary winds. Does it now mean when the Lord sends those special, remarkable, contrary winds, and of course, when we are like a Jonah, running away from the Lord, not obeying his command, that there is a certain expectation that those contrary winds shall blow, and when they do not blow, then a Jonah shall also be perplexed and even troubled. All we know that when that Jonah has went to the bottom of the ship so miserable and that he has slept. But now the question, when those contrary winds blow, then we need discernment. And then for souls that have a very close life to the Lord, oh, then day by day, then they are given to consider the leadings of the Lord and given to ask the Lord light from above, because in Psalm 36 verse 9, in thy light we shall see light. And then the question can be, with those contrary winds, is it now that the Lord is showing that has steered my little ship in the wrong direction? When it is right, then we need the favor of the Lord. Or is it a trial of faith? And now concerning the first point, when we think of the children of Israel, when the Lord has led them out of Egypt with that outstretched arm, and then they have come to the Red Sea as a trial of faith. On the other hand, we have other examples. Think of Matthew 14. Christ has constrained his disciples to go into the ship, and then a great storm has risen, but it was commanded by Jesus Christ. Thus many a times for the true pilgrim, then it is for the trial of faith, for examination concerning their little ship, that they may open God's word more diligently, and to need Christ as pilot of their ship. When the Lord does not grant those contrary winds, does not necessarily mean that we are traveling on the right pathway. We mentioned Jonah. When he has come to the Mediterranean Sea, disobedient prophet, fleeing from the presence of the Lord, going the opposite way that the Lord has commanded, we read that the sea was calm and there was a ship ready to sail to Tarshish. Thus that tells this congregation that with those contrary winds, we need to be much on our knees, searching the Word of God and asking the Lord for tokens of His favor, and that we become not overly discouraged. The ship which Paul was on, contrary winds, sailing slowly, but of Paul, he may know whom he has believed, and that everything is directed by the King of the Church. And Paul could confess, the Lord whose I am and whom I serve, that fair havens must leave it, the Lord willing, for the next time. But now the question, congregation, how is it now with our ship sailing through this time to eternity? How is it with all the blessings? And how is it with the contrary winds? Who was our King? Who was our Captain? What is our guide? And where are we traveling to? Oh, my unconverted fellow travelers, the King, still gathering His church, oh, beg the Lord for that wonderful work. A wonder needs to take place. We have heard it Thursday evening from the canons of Dort, the third and fourth head, the 12th article, that it is such a supernatural, such an astonishing work. And then we shall be given, ah, Lord, wilt thou take me by heart and by hand? Wilt thou guide me, guide my little ship, and that it may be sailing toward that eternal haven of eternal bliss. Ah, the church shall learn much. We hope, the Lord willing, to hear it later in this chapter. The church shall learn more and more. Free and sovereign grace in the beginning, in the furtherance, and to the very end. Oh, concerning that journey, the providence, the unsearchable wisdom, much is mysterious that we cannot understand. Christ has said in John 13, verse 7, what I doest now, thou knowest not. Thou shalt know hereafter. May we be given to need Him more and more, of whom the psalmist has said, exclaimed in Psalm 121, verse 3, He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth Israel will not slumber. Amen. Our Lord, wilt thou remember all those when their ship may be sailing quite smoothly? Oh, not so many difficulties. May it be thy goodness to bring at thy feet. Wilt thou remember those with contrary winds can be in so many different ways. May it also bring us at thy feet, and that it all may be for the saving of souls, and that shall be when it may be accompanied by the loving and the irresistible work of thy Spirit, our Lord. We humbly ask thee by renewal, may in this day there be placed among young and old on that narrow way that leadeth to eternal bliss. Oh, convert what is unconverted, and wilt thou grant unto thy people a closer, a more dependent, a more tender life with thee. Lord, remember in this Sabbath day, grant traveling mercies, return by renewal under the means of grace. Forgive us of all of our sins in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 381, the stanzas 3 and 4. O Lord, enthroned in glory bright, thou reignest in the heavenly height. And what follows? The consistory wishes to announce the following, the Lord willing. There will be a Dutch service this afternoon at 2:30 p.m., and there will be a special dedication service in Rostern this Friday evening at 7:30 p.m. And then the congregation is invited to listen along on the Pitcher Butte church telephone. Thus it is the number, the church telephone number of Pitcher Butte to listen along. Psalter 381, 3 and 4. receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. And the Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.